Our own Joel Tischer is going to be sharing the good words of life with us, and so let's thank God by faith for what we're about to hear.
Well, good morning. Let me see, make sure I've done everything correctly. I'm all straightened out. I look pretty good, don't I? Yeah. Steve's going. I guess he's not in agreement. So I just won't pay attention to him. Give thanks is the message. When I was preparing this, I thought about how some of us in this room, including myself, we're probably spoiled. But the question is not are we spoiled, but are we spoiled brats? Now, there is a difference. Someone who's spoiled has lots of stuff. And they don't thank anyone for it. They just have lots of things. Everything that they need is provided for them. And they don't thank anybody. Those are spoiled people. A spoiled brat is really one that has everything and he doesn't thank anyone, but he wants more. I worked with a guy about a decade ago. He was 70 years old and still working in the field of anesthesia. That's what I did for a living. I was a CRNA and gave anesthesia, and I worked with this guy a short time. He was known as a locum tenens. What that means is he fills in when somebody's sick or whatever. And he was from St. Louis, and he was 70 years old and still working. And after about a week of working with him, I said, I've got to ask you, why are you 70 years old and still working? And he said, well, you see, I have a son, and he's about 40. And he hasn't been able to hold down a job. He's had maybe a dozen jobs in his life. And he lives at home. And he really wants a new sports car. And I said, what? Are you telling me you're working so you can give your 40-year-old son a new sports car? He said, yeah, I thought it'd be nice. I said, you got to be kidding. You see, some people are spoiled because we contribute to it, don't we? We're called enablers. But most of us in this room, we have just about everything we need. The problem is do we believe that we have everything we need? Most of us want something else. And if you're one of those people, like I can be, I would call you a spoiled brat. Yeah, I know, Pastor, it's not a good thing to call everybody in the room a spoiled brat when you're trying to talk to them. But the fact is a fact, isn't it? Most of us had oxygen to breathe this morning. Most of us had our heart beating. Most of us saw the sun and everything nature provides around us, and yet we're not thankful. I thought about Adam and Eve and how sin started. And I thought about how they were looking for something they didn't have. See, the reason sin got started is because Adam and Eve really weren't thankful. Because if you're thankful, that usually leads to something called contentment. Oh, you probably think, well, I give people thanks all the time. Yeah, but do you mean it? I mean, are you sincere about giving people, even around you, when you say thank you, or is it a catchphrase? Do you just say it? Let's turn to Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything. No, that must be a misprint. Pastor, they changed the wording here. It can't be mean in everything. That means in the middle of a coronavirus. What if you have the coronavirus? What if you're sick physically, emotionally, and every other way? It can't mean that. I think there is must be, in this phrase, a miracle about to happen. It says, rejoice always. There's a lot to being said here. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Why? Why? Because for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Could they mean that there's something about giving thanks that has power? Could it mean that spiritual power comes from being thankful? You know, in Luke chapter 17, it's not on your list here, but Luke chapter 17, I'm just going to kind of synopsis it. Jesus was traveling across a land, and there were 10 guys. They had a disease called leprosy. Now, leprosy is Myobacterium leprae. And for those who don't care, I'll just explain it to you. It's a bacteria infection. It caused numbness of the nerves all over your body. So you end up with ulcers, not pretty, and you end up with disfigurement if it goes long enough and is severe enough. The flesh starts falling off your face. You lose your digits. You don't have any fingers anymore. You lose your toes. And it can be treated nowadays with a series of medications. That's the reason you don't hear about it in this country. But worldwide, 5 million people still get it. It's nasty. So there are 10 guys with leprosy, and they were yelling at Jesus, mercy, have mercy on us. So Jesus said something. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And so they all went to go to the priest to show them. And while they were heading for the priest, they were all healed. Miraculously, a miracle. But what wasn't a miracle was that 9 never went back to thank Jesus. One did. He was a foreigner. He didn't even know anything about the Messiah. He didn't know anything about the Jewish religion. You know, as far as he was concerned, he was from Samaria, and he was just a foreigner. That's what Jesus called him, by the way. Just a foreigner. So he goes back, and he falls on his knees before Jesus and thanks him. Jesus looks at him and he says, were there not 10? I wonder what happened to the other 9. I guess they were out celebrating their blessing, having a ball. After all, they've been healed. But they weren't thankful. And you said, Joel, that'll never happen to me. I got news for you. It's already happened to every one of us in this room. Where we were blessed, by the mighty hand of God. And we didn't give him thanks. We are too busy. Maybe that's the problem. You're too busy. Being thankful is more than just Thanksgiving, the holiday. Although, to me, that is a super important holiday in my life. I was wondering, would it be possible if today, because it's 8 weeks away or something like that, but if today, if you and I started thanking God for something different every day, we just take a few minutes every day until Thanksgiving Day. Would it be possible that we could actually see power? That our prayer with everything, knowing that we are giving thanks, that we can pray and we can see the hand of Christ. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Wow, what a combination. You're not supposed to be anxious for anything, but here's the answer for those of you that are anxious. Here's the answer. In everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication, what does that mean? Supplication has many different meanings when you look it up in a dictionary, but basically it means earnest prayer. That means praying humbly. In other words, by prayer and praying humbly and intensely with thanksgiving. There's three things. I don't believe our prayers can be answered. A lot of times it's because we're not thankful for what we already have. But Joe, I'm not praying for me. I'm praying for someone else. I didn't say that. I said, are you thankful for what you have? And what do we have? You know, I think part of the problem is we have too much. My wife, I love her so much. She's not here today because she's taking care of our grandchild, but she told me the other day, you've got a 60-foot shed. Why don't you clean it out? That was a bad idea, by the way. Bad idea. Doesn't she know I need that stuff? Now, I got to admit, there's parts of that building I haven't been in for 10 years. So I guess I really don't know if I need it or not. But someday, I may need that thing that's stuck in the corner. And I have to house it. Because I don't want it to get wet, whatever it is. And I thought about how many things I have that I thought I really needed at the time. Maybe a lot of those things I never even used. But I sure wanted it at the time. And now, if you put it on a garage sale, somebody will give you 50 cents for it. Maybe. If you're lucky. It really is worth nothing. And here, it was a treasure. How foolish we are. Aren't we? We have so much that we have to store it and keep it and spend money. And then we complain we don't have enough money. We complain we don't have enough stuff. We complain. You know, it reminds me of a people Pastor probably remembers, in the Old Testament, there is a people, I think it was called Hebrews, Israelites, and they had seen miracle upon miracle upon miracle, getting them out of from under the Egyptian bondage. And they got them out into the desert, and they said, you know, we're going to starve. So God provided manna, pieces of bread, coming out of heaven. And it was okay for a while, and then pretty soon, oh, Moses, who was their leader, Moses, this stuff isn't cutting it anymore. You know, can't we have something else? So Moses went to God, and God understood something. They were ungrateful. I've even heard them called ingrates. What that means is you got so much, but you're not grateful. Here they're being fed from heaven. Don't you think, Mike, you'd be grateful? You know, you falls out of heaven. You've seen miracles upon miracles. You'd think you'd be a little bit thankful. But no, they wanted something else. So God gives them quail, meat. And boy, did he give it to them. He gave them quail upon quail upon quail, so much that it started stinking because they were so ungrateful. But still, they were ungrateful. They just couldn't get it. No matter how many miracles they saw in their lives, they didn't get it. How about you? You get it? First Timothy 4, 5, chapter 4, 4 and 5. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Everything that you have that is good comes from where? Isn't that what it says? The word of God says, all things that are good come from above. That means everything that's negative or bad comes from satanic forces, sin. A lot of people blame God for lots of things. Did you know that? They blame. In fact, I took an insurance policy and they says on their acts of God. That means hurricanes and such. Well, I got news for you. That's acts of sin. That's what it should say. And acts of sin produce all this. That's the reason we live in this world where we can't figure things out. It's because sin has come in, and God made it clear to Adam and Eve, when you eat, do this one commandment, I'm telling you not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you do that, death is going to come into you, the world. And sure enough, sin and death have come into the world because of that disobedient act. And everything that you see that you can't understand is, number one, either it's good. And by the way, sometimes we think what is good is bad, and sometimes we think what is bad is good. Because we aren't using the mind of Christ. We're using our own mind. We can't figure it out. But everything that's truly good comes from heaven, and everything that's truly bad comes from sin. It's pretty simple. God made it very simple to us. Sickness and death and all those things, that's from sin. So we have lots to be thankful for, but very few of us are. And I've thought about that, and I thought, why is it? Because thankfulness leads to contentment. And everything in our world is trying to keep you discontent. Everything. Oh, you want me to prove it? Here, just turn on TV and look at a commercial. It's trying to tell you that their product, you can't be happy without it. There's no way. So you work hard and you go out and you buy it. And you come home and you turn the TV on and guess what? It's new and improved. You're discontent. I can't believe it. It brought me so joy for 3 minutes. I was ecstatic. But now I've got to sell it for half of what it's worth because I need this new and improved. Discontentment is all about sales, isn't it? They're trying to sell you something. But they are continually providing discontentment to our minds so that our hearts will believe that we need it. It's a lie. News for you. It's all a lie. You ever hear that term, smoke and mirrors? I've went and seen magicians produce things, you know. It looks like it's impossible. You know, they got an elephant and they make it disappear. It's a trick. We even know it's a trick. But our minds can't figure it out. Smoke and mirrors. That's the way the world is. It's trying to teach you to conform to them. And all the while, the scripture is trying to tell us just the opposite. Conform your mind to the mind of Christ. And what are you doing? Who has the greatest influence? Who? Whoever you're most thankful for. If you really buy those things and think in your mind, oh, I'm so thankful I've got this new dishwasher. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Except you're thinking the wrong thing. You see, if it's all about the dishwasher, that gets a glory, doesn't it? What if you said instead, I'm so thankful that the Lord has provided me with an income so I could buy a few things that makes my life more convenient? What if you were truly, truly thankful? What if by this Thanksgiving, the Lord would look at your heart and say, you know what? He or she is the most thankful that they've ever been toward me. Do you think it might bring changes? I do. I think it would bring a miraculous change in your life if you could just be more thankful. The problem is not God. The problem is our attitude. We become too spoiled, too much, and unthankful. 1 Corinthians says, but thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you have nothing else to be thankful for, I don't care how destitute, if you're on a ventilator, but you're still awake, I don't care. It says to give thanks to God. Thanks be to God for who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see victory? Do you want to feel victorious? You better be thankful. Because God has given you so much. And I don't care what your situation, He has given you so much. And he cannot bless someone that is ungrateful, because he knows that that just produces more ungratefulness. You be a brat. You want to be like that guy who's 40 years old? Daddy, Daddy, I need a new car. Daddy, grow up. It's time. It's time. And some of us need to grow up. We have become ungrateful. We weren't in the beginning. I remember when I was 28, that is the time I first understood that Jesus Christ was alive. Joel, I thought you grew up. I did. I grew up in a Methodist church. But for some reason, I just never knew it here or knew it here. I thought Jesus was somewhere in heaven and that he didn't care about people here. And somehow, if you were just good enough, whatever that means better than the guy that you don't like, that you get to go to heaven and he doesn't. That's what I thought. And so I always compared myself to people that I knew were bad. I knew they were bad. It wasn't me, of course, but everybody else was bad. It set me up for something called arrogance. You can be the most right person, but if you are not humble and thankful toward God, you're a loser. Oh, you don't understand all the degrees I have, Joel. I'm not a loser. I'm a hard worker. I've got all kinds of doctorate degrees. I'm a genius. Yeah, in your own mind. You're a legend in your own mind. But you're not thankful. Thankful brings humbleness to us, makes us our heart more humble, and then we can be used of God. But if you are not humble and thankful, I believe you can't be used. And some people go around all their lives, what does God want for me? What does God want for me? And the truth is, all he wants you to do is be thankful. So it produces something called contentment in your life. And you won't be upset all the time. And you won't be anxious all the time. And you'll be the kind of person that he can use. In John 11, Lazarus was talked about in verses 38 through 42. Now, we all probably know the story of Lazarus. He died, like we all will. He died. Got sick and died. And they had gone to Jesus and asked him to come back. And he said, well, we're going to stay here a few more days. Well, that's exactly what happened. Jesus stayed a few days and he come back. And Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And they said, Jesus, you're too late. If you had been here, you could have healed him. And he was a follower of yours, Jesus. You should have come back earlier, but you didn't do it. Do you know, the first thing Jesus did said, I'm not too late. Let's go see him. And his sister, Martha, said, you don't understand. If we roll back this stone that's in the cave that he's laying in, it's going to stink. He's dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, do what I ask. So they roll back the stone. And then Jesus did something that puzzles me. He said, Father, thank you that you hear me. I know that you always hear me, but for the sake of others, I wanted to say this to you, Lord. Father, then he spoke these words. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And I don't know what happened in the spiritual realm. All I know is the scripture says that Lazarus walks out with grave clothes on him. And he's wrapped up like a mummy. And they say, Jesus says, take those grave clothes off of him. Let him loose. Why did Jesus ask the Father and thank him? He is God. He didn't have to thank the Father. But he tells us why. So that you and I, 2,000 years later, can know that thankfulness has power. Amen. With thanksgiving, he rose from the dead, and Jesus understood that he would be teaching us 2,000 years later to be thankful. If you want power, you need to be thankful. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thought about that scripture because I thought, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, if I was doing something, let's say I go to work, and before I get to work, I say, Lord, today, whatever I do, I want to be in your will and do it in your name. I want to glorify your name today in word and deed. Would it change your attitude for the rest of the day? Because whatever you're doing, you're not doing for you. Whatever you're doing, you're doing for Jesus Christ. Huh. Maybe our jobs would be a little easier, wouldn't they? Because now it's not all on you. It's about glorifying your Father in heaven, glorifying the name of Jesus so that he gets credit. You know, I worked on a farm most of my life when I was young, and my dad, he was a farmer, and boy, it was hard to please him. One thing I've noticed about most farmers, and I hate to lump them all into one, but I've had experience with several farmers throughout my life, and it seems like they have something in common. They like it done their way. Oh, it doesn't stop with farmers. If you're in charge of a business, or if you're an employee or whatever it is, you almost always want it done your way. I wonder why. Maybe it's somehow we've been duped to thinking it's really ours. Did you know, no matter what you do on this earth, the day you retire, someone else will do it. And if you go back 10 years, you find out most of the people you worked with are retired and gone, and no one remembers you. I worked with a surgeon, and he was probably one of the most well-known. If I told you his name, you'd probably maybe, yeah, I heard about him eons ago. And he really was convinced that he was the best surgeon around. But now, most people don't even know his name. What are you building for yourself? Zero. Everything I have will be somebody else's someday. If it doesn't deteriorate to nothing, which most things will, but I live on a piece of land, and I own 20 acres of land. Big deal. As I've been working on that land, I've found things. There are flowers that were already growing on that land, planted by someone else. See, it had been somebody else's generations and generations ago. In fact, I talked to one of my neighbors and he said, yeah, my grandpa and grandma lived on that land. And right over here was their barn. And here was their farmhouse. It's gone. The barn's gone. Farmhouse is gone. And I thought, you know, that's just like me. Whatever I build, someday will be gone. We got to be thankful now for what we have. Because I got news for you. That's the only time you got it. Tomorrow, it may all be gone. Ask some people in Louisiana about their homes. They had them one day, and a hurricane came, and boom, gone. Now it's just a pile of lumber. Boom, gone. And one day, that'll be you. Gone. It's over. Let's not be fools and act foolishly. Let's turn our hearts to the Lord and help Him understand that we are a thankful being, that we're very thankful for what He's given us. And we're grateful, and we're not going to take anything that we have experienced that is negative and blame it on God. Because it's not His fault. It's really man's fault that sin came in this world. So if you have to blame somebody, blame sin, which is the originator of all our troubles. Psalm 100 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Again, in 1 Corinthians, it says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which has given to you by Christ Jesus. I've talked a lot about being thankful to the Lord. And I do believe that is primary in our lives. Because if we change our heart as far as being thankful to God, I think then we can be thankful to others. What would happen if you and I really started meaning the words that come out of our mouth? Thank you to the waitress. Thank you to the person at the cash register. Thank you to the people who help us every day. What would happen? Could they look at you and say, you know, I think that guy, I think that lady there, I think they go to a place called Victory Christian Church out there on 54. I think they go there. Could it be that they are happier and more thankful than I am? Could it be that that church, that name of Jesus Christ, has something to do with their lives? That it's real? It's changed them. You know, I've known Him for 20 years, and I've never known Him to be that thankful toward me. I've done this for years for Him, and he never really thanked me. Now, I will tell you, my son, Jared, managed a restaurant for a short time after he got out of college. And he said, the one day that no waiter or waitress wanted to work. Guess what day? Sunday. Because they hated the church crowd. You know why? Because the church crowd was known not to give any tips, but they would leave tracks. You've got to be kidding me. You're going to leave a waiter or a waitress a track and expect them to read it and care, and you don't give them a decent tip? If you tipped a $20 bill for a $10 meal, I can guarantee you they'd read the track. I remember, to show you how perfect I am, I remember a Sunday after church when I lived in the city of Washington, Missouri. There was a restaurant there, and my wife and I and another couple went there after church and got terrible service. Worst service I've ever had in my life. And the girl was young. She was probably, 15, 16 years old. And I know she, they don't pay waiters or waitresses anything. They work for mostly for tips. And I was really upset. So I left her a dollar bill. And my wife would get outside and she said, "How much did you leave her?" I said, "A dollar." "A dollar? You left her a dollar?" And I said, "Yeah." And I looked in my billfold. I had accidentally given her a $10 bill. I thought it was a dollar because I had three ones and a 10. But I gave her the 10 and I left the three ones in my billfold. And I said, "Oh, no." So I start going back, but it was too late. She had cleaned off the table and taking the $10 bill. And I went out and I told my wife, I said, "No, I left her $10. Worst service I ever got in my life." And she said, maybe she needed a blessing. Don't you hate that when your wife does stuff like that? Needs a blessing. But could it be true? This life is a rehearsal. You see, the Lord puts us here to see how we're going to react. And we reap in heaven what we've sowed on earth. The one thing I want for me and for you is when you and I stand, and we will, whether you're saved or you're not saved, you're going to stand in front of Jesus Christ himself. It would be great for him to look at me and say, "You made a mess of a lot of things. But the one thing I can say for you is you were always thankful." That's what I want for you too. That we always be thankful. First Chronicles 16:34. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Just give him thanks for his mercy. Because I can guarantee you, without it, you and I wouldn't have been standing here. It was his mercy that sent him to the cross. It was his mercy upon mankind that caused him all the pain and agony of the cross. So let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks. Teach our hearts to be truly thankful, not to just say the words, Lord, but truly, truly thankful. Change us, Lord. Between now and Thanksgiving, Lord, I give a challenge to everyone in this room that we become more and more thankful every day. As we look at our lives, we look at what you've done for us and what you're going to do for us. And we count those things and give you all the glory each day, becoming more and more thankful until Thanksgiving comes. And then maybe, Lord, it'll be a habit. It'll just be a habit that we will every day of our life be able to give you glory for what you're doing, what you've done, what you're going to do. We thank you for it. You are good. You are so good. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's high quality substance. Being thankful precipitates the supernatural. If you're looking for more of God's movement in your life, take Joel up on that admonition. 60 days till Thanksgiving, by the way. And let it just become part of your life. Being thankful precipitates the supernatural for all the other things that we call spiritual and such. There's a simplicity to being thankful. And really, there's an ease to it because God has given us so much to be thankful for. Ingratitude precipitates spiritual darkness. We're in an age, without trying to oversimplify things here, we're definitely in an age which is characterized by a bunch of spoiled brats. Bunch of entitled people. I mean, for instance, you got professional athletes complaining about America and such. You know, the very America that gave them the platform to be able to play sports for millions of dollars. I mean, that's ingratitude off the charts. In Romans chapter 1, not to belabor, but this, If gratitude precipitates supernatural ingratitude, in Romans chapter 1 it says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks to him. And so they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." So much darkness in our land today because God is ignored and he certainly isn't given his due. And so far be that from us. Far be it from us that the way we would say, "Oh, that 40-year-old spoiled brat, how foolish." And the Holy Spirit say, "That's you times two." Wow. Far be it from us. And so let us take the heart. Thank you, Joel. That was just stellar. Father, we commit that word from your Holy Spirit through your servant. We commit that to you to continue to bear fruit in our hearts for many days forward. And as we go from here, Lord God, let us go out rejoicing that you stooped down to feed us today. And you take care of us as your little ones, Lord. May we go out, Lord, strengthened and be blessed and be a blessing. Commit this precious family to you today. And if there's any that don't know Jesus as Savior, may this be the day that they believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Godspeed to you. Blessings.